Welcome, everyone. This is Performing Edge Coaching International, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, and we're having our mentoring call on October the 13th. So want to welcome you here, and we've got a number of topics we can talk about. And the main purpose for these calls, of course, is to answer your questions and to interact with you, be of help in any way that I can with you. So welcome you to ask your questions. And you can also ask them live by phone and then also by email. And, of course, this recording will be up right after the call in the next day or two. Also, I wanted to let you know the next call that we have is normally every second and fourth Thursday of the month. And this next one will be actually on a Friday instead of a Thursday. So it'll be October 28th, if you want to mark your calendars there. Have a doctor's appointment for my hip injury on the Thursday. So on the 28th, on Friday, we can have the call at the same time, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. So mark your calendars for that. And then the following month, people are wondering what the dates are in the future. Let's see, it would be November 10th, Tuesday. And then instead of Thursday, that would be Thanksgiving. Well, we can have it on Tuesday that week instead of Thursday, so the 22nd instead of the 24th. So if you want to mark your calendars for that, that would be great. So, Daron, you're on the call. Yeah, do you have a question or any thoughts, anything on your mind this week?
Well, number one question is how are you doing with your leg there?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, it's a great journey here. A lot of learning opportunities going on. And it's week number three. Today I get to go swimming for the first time. Yay. I'm excited about that, being able to get back into aerobic exercise. So the surgical wound is all healed up, and I'm on the crutches for 6 weeks. So I'm halfway through that, and so I've been doing a lot of, developing my plan. And did you get that injury surgery, that recovery plan checklist that I sent out?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've been and revising that, and it's great when you can have a relationship with your surgeon, with your doctor too, if possible, with telling any of your clients who go through surgery or injury, the more interaction you can have, the better. And my surgeon actually gave me his cell phone number, and then was able to call him afterward and ask him. He walked me through every step of the surgery, and so that really gave me confidence, additional confidence, that he really knows what he's doing, and he's really on the cutting edge. Sorry about the pun, the cutting edge of surgery, and of the orthopedic field, and knows exactly what he's doing. That they take a series of x-rays so that it's not just guesswork when they go in to know what to do. They really take a lot of time ahead of time to identify exactly what's going on with the bone and where the fracture is, and so they can be minimally invasive. And it's exciting to hear him talk about that, just walk through all the steps of the surgery, that they use these guide wires that go through and actually guide them to where they should put in which bone is broken, and then which how much they need to do, whether they have to put in a plate, or in my case they just put in these three screws, 7.3 millimeter screws. So yeah, it was good. Every day I have the x-rays on my desk here, and so I look at them as I walk by every day. It helps me remember that, I need to be really careful about this, because the doctor keeps reminding me, hey, this is a really big deal, and you can't just assume that everything's, that when you're older, you don't heal, the bones don't heal quite as quickly as when you're younger. But if you're really healthy, like I am, then that makes a huge difference, of course. But it's just, if you want to heal the correct way, you have to really focus like a laser beam on recovery, just like you would focus on training for a race or being in any kind of competition. So yeah, it's been great, and I actually developed this surgery recovery plan, and then I showed it to him, to my surgeon, Dr. Dunbar, and he said he thought it was great too, and he's actually working with me on it to develop it more, and he had a couple suggestions for it, and said that for instance, just a simple thing like I put a pillow underneath the injured area. That's what they told me that I could do, put a pillow underneath the left leg, but actually. And that's okay, but in my case, but each injury is different, and so it's really important to consult your doctor or physical therapist about that, because they found that if you have a knee injury, for instance, and if you put a pillow under that knee while you're sitting or lying down, then that can actually cause problems later on. It can cause, because the knee is being bent all that time while it's healing, so it could cause scar tissue behind there. So you have to really check with your doctor for each specific injury. But I'm learning a lot about how to balance on the crutches and how to get to the phone quickly and how to how to just and how to set up the house, like I was saying, simple things like all of a sudden you can't use your hands anymore, when you're crutching around the house, how are you going to carry things? So I got this fanny pack, this great fanny pack, it's got two water bottle holders in it, and so I carry that around the house with my phone in it, and so I can carry water from one room to another, and just simple things like putting a chair in the kitchen so you can alternate sitting and standing, and things that we take for granted, just being able to walk around. When you're on crutches, you have to look at everything differently. Everything's in a little bit slower mode. So in one way, it's allowed me to relax and be a little bit more, take a little bit of a vacation, like a different kind of vacation that I've never taken before. Sleeping 10, more hours to promote healing, that kind of thing. So, yeah, thanks for asking. I guess, Duran, did you have knee injuries before?
I've had a few injuries.
Yeah.
And, I can totally relate to crutches and trying to get around and, maneuvering yourself when you have an ailment, and like you said, you take things for granted, and when you feel better, you're a lot more careful and then with things, and then as you go through the process, you get more confident with everything, and soon you like nothing happens.
Yeah. And just this week, I noticed that I could do a lot more exercises on the floor, have more flexibility, more range of motion in my left leg. So it's telling me something. But for instance, it's like you want to, then when you start feeling better, you think, oh, geez, I'll set dates for things that I want to do. But that's not a good idea, actually, until you're really sure. Like I have this speaking engagement coming up for a corporation on November 17th, and I'd really like to be able to walk out there on the stage without crutches. But my doctor was saying, well, this is really, your body will tell you when you're ready. You can't rush these kind of things, and you really, this is a really key time to take it slowly and take it more conservatively. And you gotta, if you feel pain, doing anything, you got to back off, and it's much better to take your time when you're recovering, because so many athletes make the mistake of coming back too soon and then they re-injure themselves. So it's like a opportunity, really. You got to think of it that way. I think when you come back from an injury, an opportunity to get really healthy if you're really smart about it. But it's a real time to check in with your body, that kind of thing. So yeah. So with that that recovery plan, I had the mindset, asking the right questions. What can I do rather than what can't I do? What's good about this situation? How can I use this to my advantage? And what can I learn from this? How can I keep moving forward? What tools and resources do I need to heal? And then asking yourself each day, what am I grateful for? And that's really helpful to ask those questions each day, as opposed to, it's easy to get down on yourself and think, oh man, I can't do this, I can't do that. So really being grateful for each day is important. Yeah. So Duran, did you have any questions or any other thoughts this week?
well, on on a coaching note, for the 9-year-old I've been coaching that has been crying during games, this week I made him his MP3 player with his MP3, custom MP3 with his favorite rap singer.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. He's singing the words. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. he doesn't understand the words, but I'm like, okay, that's enough. It's a little humorous, but he actually had the most incredible game. It was awesome. He didn't cry for the first time, and you know, he played unbelievably. Led his team in points and assists, and just is really, really awesome to see. And he's starting. What's really neat is he notices, he's a really smart kid, and he notices on his team other kids that, you know, might have attitude problems or stuff, and he's like, you need coaching. And so telling the other kids, so
he might get some more referrals.
He's seen a big advantage to it. And you know, it's on my part, you know, I was kind of teary-eyed because you see him come such a long way and accomplish his goal. So it's cool.
Yeah, what is his sport? Which sport's he in?
He plays basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little basketball player. So he's, you know, and I've been working with him. This was week number 5. And, you know, in 5 weeks he was able to, you know, control his emotions and really, you know, change his outlook on the game.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. And are you communicating with him and the parents?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, the parents were – the dad's actually the coach, and it can be hard sometimes because as a parent you have a little bit more excitement towards the, you know, your own kid. But, yeah, he was really thrilled, and the mom as well. She was really happy. But they want to see it again. They're like, all right, that's once. But they're like, all right, let's see if we can do it next game. But yeah, it was a big step for him, and really, really proud of him.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it's good. Yeah. Did you make the MP3 before his sort of turnaround game?
I made it a week ahead of time, and I had him listen to it for a week. And then right before the game started, I played it for him again. And, you know, we recalled, like, he remembered it didn't even have to do with basketball, which was I thought was even better for him because he wasn't so much focused on basketball. But he remembered a game where he was unstoppable, and you know, I used that. I didn't really use breathing techniques with him because he's only 9 years old. So I just got him right into the visualization of remembering, you know, that positive game he had, and he said he was unstoppable, and he was took control of the game, and that's exactly what he did when he played, and it was awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, after that, it would be a good thing to do another, if you haven't already, do a second MP3 file audio with him recalling that, the game, the recent game that he's had where he was, you know, really did the same thing, took control of it, and, you know, so that he can reinforce those feelings in his mind and really have a, you know, and have a special anchor kind of thing, a success anchor of that experience. Yeah, and so he realizes this isn't just a fluke, but this is something I really made happen myself that I can repeat over and over again. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that with him this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's fresh in his mind, and have him tell you all the, well, he's probably told you a lot of the details, but you can try to bring out more details of what exactly happened. You know, take him through the whole game, and you could ask, you know, okay, what happened in the first quarter? Did you actually see the game, or?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Oh, wow. So, you know what happened, too. You probably took notes and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, did you have a video any of it?
No, but there was, because there was a camera there that videoed the whole game,
uh-huh.
which is pretty cool. So, you know, he can actually get, you know, a recording of that game for himself.
Yeah, it would really.
It was like the only game they only recorded. So
wow.
It was pretty cool. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, I would encourage you to encourage him to get that video recording for sure, because that way he can. That's even more powerful, just as powerful as the memory inside. You know, after a while, the memory can fade in our minds, but if you've got that video, then he can play that again and again. And then what he can do is use it as a tool. And I have my clients, any kind of video that they have that's good, you know, play 5 minutes of it or so right before you go to bed at night. Just play a little section of it, and then, like, while he's brushing his teeth or something, and then that'll reinforce those, you know, the good moves that he made and the way he was feeling. And then the subconscious mind can be working on it while he's sleeping. And the next night he could play another 5 minute chunk of it, that kind of thing. So you go to bed with a really good thought, you know, a good energy kind of
right.
thing. So that'd be good. Did you have him do a success anchor or something, some way to anchor it, a word, a color, an image of some sort, or a gesture?
Yeah, he picked his favorite number, number 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
He wears number 3, and he's a big big Dwayne Wade fan, and I think his whole team is, but he, you know, he really liked the number 3. And, yeah, he chose that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, people tend to remember things easier in threes as well. So yeah, that's great. Yeah, congratulations on your work with him. Yeah, that's exciting. Are you? And, do you have any questions about, I know you've been doing so much with your website and that kind of thing as well. Are you doing your e-books and that sort of thing? And I'm marketing with your website.
Yeah, and I got I just got my my audiobook put onto like in a sleeve. I ordered it like sleeve.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna send you one, but on the website from one of the calls, I went on there and ordered 100 CDs. So I'm gonna pass those out to some coaches that I know, and, you know, say, you know, this is a taste of what I do with the athletes, and, you know, it's a gift, and, you know, it's good holidays are coming up, so good little gift for people that have kids and, you know, want to get them focused.
Yeah, fantastic. Did you, there's a company that specializes in that, Kunaki, did you go through them, or a different company? There's
what? There's CD duplication.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact name of the company.
Okay. There's a one that I'd recommend for future reference, just to have in your resources. It's Kunaki, Kunaki. And for everyone on the call, is there, by the way, is there anyone else that's joined us on the call? I think it's hard for me to see the screen. There might be some other people on, but I just can't see the screen right now. But anyway, if you have, you can feel free to chime in. Kunaki, Kunaki, and they're a great company since you can just send them the audio and send them the cover art, and then for $1 they will, you know, create a CD or a DVD for you, and also mail it out. So if you, for instance, with your shopping cart, if you have that. Your audiobook that you want to sell there, you can set it, you can either, you know, you get a whole bunch and then just do the fulfillment yourself, or you can have that Kunaki do the fulfillment, so that when someone orders your audiobook, the income comes into you, to your bank account through the shopping cart, and then they're you know, through that VIP running system you've got, which is great, and then the Kunaki people get the order and then they just ship it out to the client. So you don't have to worry about shipping. So
oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's all for like $1. It's pretty amazing. I'm not sure if shipping might be, you know, a few cents extra, but I think it's around $1 for the whole thing, just for, yeah, it's an on-demand service. So they create it, the CD or DVD and the sleeve and make it look really good and ship it out. It's hard to imagine they could do all that for, well, usually in the past, you know, when I've gone to CD duplication companies, I had to order like 1,000 in order to get that $1 price per CD. But now they're able to do it just with that, you know, just on demand one at a time, so you don't have to carry a lot of stock. So, yeah, that's great. I know you've been really good about creating a lot of e-books as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's been going well. So little by little, getting my name out there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, yeah, I'm working on this weekend my goal, get that video testimonial for you and for everyone who's graduated through our certification program, get that out to you guys. I know that TJ is working on her website, and it's almost done as well. So, yeah, TJ will be sending you that video testimonial as well. And Christo and Nicole and everyone else that's in our program as well. I know Ricky's couldn't join us today. He's going to come this next time. And Floyd up in Canada. And Frank in New York City. So I hope I didn't leave anyone out. Lauren in West Virginia. Yeah, Lauren's usually on the call too. So, yeah, I wanted to say a couple things about the, that recovery plan, that the checklist that I was developing, because I think some other things that I was learning is with regard to, you know, the first area, asking the right questions, and then the second thing you want to do with athletes that are recovering from this applies to injury or surgery, and you want to build your knowledge base for recovery. So, for instance, you know, not just rely on your doctor, because most doctors are not going to spend that much time with you to help you with your recovery. If they're doing the surgery, you know, they leave it up to their staff or other people or yourself to find other to really learn about the injury. And I think to really be proactive about it and to get your best possible recovery, which most athletes want to do, you need to really take control and find out as much as you can about it. Now, you know, it used to be that patients really didn't have that much. You had to go to a library to find anything, or you didn't have access to a lot of the medical research or information. But now, you know, you just Google anything, and it comes up right away. There's PubMed is a really good resource. If you just Google PubMed, PubMed, there's all kinds of – it will give you the abstracts to any article. You can just search on whatever subject you want. And I was amazed. I just Googled, you know, hip fracture surgery and rehabilitation exercises, and all kinds of things came up there, and they showed you know, athletes, and not only just what to do, but like the whole routine of you know, because you want to know the specifics of, like, when I get back to starting to walk again, how do you start transitioning? When you haven't walked for 6 weeks on crutches, how do you transition back into walking again? I mean, it's a kind of a delicate transition to make. You don't just start walking all of a sudden, or you can put too much weight on that area. So you have to do it in a very specialized way. Like the doctor said, that what you do is, now they're becoming more scientific about it. They'll have me put my foot, like the surgery foot, put it standing on the scales, and put the left foot on a scales, and feel what 30 pounds feels like. like, because my weight is about 120 pounds, so you want to put about a quarter of your weight on the scales. So I put 30 pounds on the scales with my left foot. Feel what that's like to put that much weight on it, and then continue to walk on the crutches, but just put 30 pounds of weight on that foot for the week one, and then week two you put 60 pounds. So I stand on the scales and measure 60 pounds. And then walk around putting 60 pounds of weight on with still assisted by the crutches. The next week, 90 pounds, and then the next week, full weight. But I'm thinking I can, you know, there's probably ways that you can accelerate that experience too by just listening to your body and doing more walking and more exercises and different things. So it's good to get a whole, you know, to ask people in your running club and ask people in your triathlon club who else has had the same kind of injury and what did they do to help with it. And lots of people will come up with more creative ideas even in addition to what your doctor or your professionals people will tell you. Even just going to a running store and asking you know, the professionals there, oftentimes they will really be a good resource for you. So, and then you want to like create this healing folder on your computer. So, you as a coach, you can do that for various injuries that your athletes come up with so that you build this, a folder with healing and injuries. So you'll know what to do when you have an athlete with a knee injury or one with a hip injury or one with an ankle or a back injury, that kind of thing. You can create this healing resource library too and be really proactive about it so that you can help your athletes to use your injury as an opportunity, learning opportunity. And then, of course, in section 5 of my book, your Performing Edge book is all about healing and listening to the wisdom of your body. So there's a lot of good suggestions in there too for positive affirmations and power words, positive images, and I've got some visualizations there too. So you want to just, you know, find out as much as you can. I think that really gives you a lot of power to know that you are doing your own best research. And then you want to connect with other athletes who've had a good experience with recovery from the same injury. Like I know several people who've had good with hip injuries. It can go either way. It could go, some athletes have had great experiences. They're back to full running. Other ones are not. And, you know, it's tough. You want to encourage people who have not had that good of an experience. But while you're healing, I'd say it's not good to hang around negative people a lot because you know, it can bring you down. You want to connect with the people who are positive and have had a good experience with their recovery. So you surround yourself with positive people. So, I think building your knowledge base is really important. And then switching gears, being able to find that new rhythm. You want to ease into movement really slowly. And, instead of, you have to switch gears really and help your athletes when they're injured. Instead of doing a one heavy-duty workout a day, which is what we're used to doing, or several workouts a day, you want to think of it as like mini exercise sessions. So right now I'm doing like 3 to 4 small sessions on the floor exercises, that kind of thing. And like you said, Duran, the arm ergometer kind of thing. You suggested that, I guess they're at the, can you buy those, I guess, at gyms, at equipment stores, or you just see them at gyms, I guess?
You can, but I believe it's easier just to, go into a gym and see if they have one.
Right.
They have many ones that you can use.
And what I was doing is, and this is great for any. Yeah, I've used this throughout 3 bunion surgeries I had, and now the hip injury. Is just take a bicycle and put it on a wind trainer, to turn it into a stationary bike, and then you just turn it up on its end, so the handlebars are facing down, and the back end is up in the air, and then you. This is with the kind of the old-fashioned wind trainers. And then you just sit behind it, straddle your legs behind it, and then pedal with your hands. And so this is kind of, I call it a hand cycling. So it turns your bike into an arm ergometer kind of thing. And it works great. So I'll just do a few mini sessions of that. And that gives you a little bit of a workout before you can get into, because for those first 3 weeks, most people who've had surgery cannot get the surgery wound wet, so you can't swim or can't do anything in the water. So it's really a good exercise, the hand cycling, until you can get into the water. So, yeah, and then just using the daily activities as a challenge, like crunching is a great workout. All of a sudden you get this great upper body. And you can be also just partnering with your doctor, and I think asking him to walk you through the surgery, asking him as many questions as you can. Some doctors will give you their email address. Like I know the whole Kaiser system now, you can actually email your doctor, which is great. And so I would say doctors, actually a lot of them, the younger ones and the ones that aren't quite as busy yet, they know a lot, and they can really give you a lot of information if you find if you're lucky enough to have one that can communicate with you, then use them as a resource, because there's a lot that you can learn. So and then I was just going to mention a couple other things. Was nutrition, to, you know, a lot of athletes, it's a really big thing to, you know, you tend to, we're used to eating anything that we want, right? Because you're just able to work out, and you just you're used to being able to eat larger meals. But now all of a sudden, when you're not exercising as much, I had to suddenly really cut back on all that, and just drink a lot of V8 juice and a lot of healthy vegetables and fruits, double the amount of vegetables and fruits, and just have real small meals. And I've been able to maintain my weight really well that way. So you got to be really conscious of all of that. And then, of course, the mental training part that is the focus of our training here as Performing Edge coaches is, you know, using the positive images. I think anyone can use this, whether you're injured or whether you're just whether you're just trying to get stronger as an athlete, you know. But right before you go to bed, if you can use positive images of some sort, some visualization, right before you go to sleep at night, that's so powerful. So what I'll do is I put my hand on the injured area, and I, you know, like on my left hip, and I also put my right hand on the other hip, so they're sort of balanced together. And, you know, I'm just as I do that, it just makes me more conscious of that area. And I'll do a visualization for imagining that the bones are knitting together and healing well, and that I'm having a strong immune system and increasing the circulation there. And I'm imagining the tendons and the ligaments as, you know, very elastic and flexible, like they're rubber bands, so they're maintaining their range of motion and flexibility. And then just visualization for overall health. I'll imagine a golden ball of healing energy running over the entire body, so that helps to just create a good feeling of that the body is healing. And saying things like, you know, with the bones specifically, I want that. Like for mine, it's the left femur bone, which is that large bone that runs down the thigh. It's actually the longest bone in the body, I think. And so, I'm saying to myself, stronger, strong and straight and strong, and, just giving that whole area good energy right before I go to sleep at night. And that helps me to, keep from worrying and keep from getting into the negative states, and keep my body moving forward all the time. So I'll tell myself with the power words, then I'll say I'm healthy and healing and moving forward, getting stronger every day. And say those things right before going to sleep at night, and then say them in the morning. And then you realize that these are kinds of skills that you can have throughout your life, not just when you're injured, but these are things just to be aware of your body and to be constantly helping your body to get stronger. Because there's always, even as athletes, there's always sore spots like I know, Duran, you mentioned you've got the plantar fasciitis. Is that right? Or do you still have that, or is it getting better?
Yeah, I'm 100% now.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. All right.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. I have a contest next competition next Saturday. So
what kind of competition?
It's a 4-mile adventure race, like a mud race.
A mud race?
With, 15 obstacles in it.
You call it a mud race?
Yeah, it's like a mud race.
So you're in mud?
Yeah, you got to run through mud, and there's gladiators in it, and it's the thing that's in right now. They call it like a Spartan race. But this one, my friend's putting it on himself. So.
Uh-huh. And you're going to...
Made his own version.
You what? And you're gonna compete in it?
Yeah, yeah. It'll be fun. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. All right, I'll be rooting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, mud should be nice and soft on the bottom of the feet too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'll let you know how I do.
Yeah, it'd be fun to get pictures of it. Show pictures of you all covered with mud.
Sure.
Put them on Facebook. Yes. Send me one. That'd be fun. So yeah, just so I was gonna just mention with the mental training part, there's positive images and power words, and then there's like with the words too. It's important with your athletes to be careful of your language when you're communicating with others. I think, you know, a lot of times people, you tell your story to people and you know, just saying the words over and over again, I'm injured or I'm, you know, I'm hurt, that kind of thing just, you know, can bring you down sometimes if you're saying those kinds of things too much. I always tell people what happened, but then I just say I'm on the mend, I'm healing well, I'm recovering well, and just really quickly bring the whole healing back into... you know, a forward movement and forward motion kind of thing. And so, and so I'm making some new visualizations for healing as well. So I'll share that on the website, and hopefully this week I can put one on there for visualization for healing that can apply to any kind of healing, any kind of injury as well. And then I just wanted to mention the physical training part. Can be, you know, with your training for recovering from an injury or surgery, you can do all kinds of things with, as I said, search on YouTube videos for your specific injury area. And then you can do, usually if you've got an appendage, you know, your lower appendage is sore, you can always do core exercises, stomach crunches, that kind of thing, and push-ups. Or, you know, for me, I can't do too much with the lower left leg, but I can do push-ups that are just, you know, kind of like a just coming up halfway with my arms. So you just say, okay, well, I can't do the whole push-up, but I can do a sort of a half a push-up until my leg is able to support the body. So, and then you can do upper body strengthening with your light weights. You can do yoga stretches, cardio, as I mentioned, the hand cycling. You can, after 3 weeks, then you can start swimming. Starts swimming with a pull buoy between the legs first, because this, you know, usually the lower legs might not want too much movement yet, and then you gradually transition into kicking with your legs too. You can do floor exercises. Some of you probably laughed when you saw on there I said chair dancing. You're going, what is chair dancing? I just discovered that this week. You can just put a chair so that it's higher up, so your feet aren't touching the ground, and then you're just put on some music and just basically dance, you know, moving your core and moving your legs and your upper body to the music, but your feet aren't touching the floor, so you're having that right brain experience of moving to music, but yet you're not aggravating the injury, and it's actually a really good workout. So I discovered a whole new thing. There's chair dancing, and then there's crutch dancing, standing on your crutches, but keeping your injury leg up and just moving to the music. So just all kinds of creative things you can do. Now, I'll have to put that on YouTube, my crutch dancing. A new category, crutch dancing with the stars, right? So then exercise massage tools. If you go to tptherapy.com, T as in Tom, P as in Paul, therapy.com, tptherapy.com, stands for trigger point therapy. There's this great ball on there, or you can get them in most running stores as well. You can put the ball underneath that sore area of your back. It's very effective for releasing the tight muscles that you get from crutching or any other sore areas. So you can use that. You can use a TheraBand for your arm stretching, a fitness ball, foam roller, all kinds of equipment. I just have all that stuff right in my living room on the floor with an exercise mat. So it's like all right there. If you have everything right there close by, and you can have your athletes do that, just have your whole exercise section there. Since you're not as mobile if you're on crutches, then you just have everything right there. Then it takes away all the excuses. You just do everything all at once right there. You can do your weights and your floor exercises and hand cycling. It's all right in one little section there. So it's just thinking ahead of time, being really smart about this whole process is what is key, and not just, you go to some physical therapists. I've heard of some people saying, well, your physical therapy is to don't do anything for 6 months. And that's like what some physical therapists will say who are not, in touch with athletes, and they don't understand that athletes can do much more, and people who are active can do much more than that. So, and in fact, it helps increase circulation to the injured area if you can move around more. And one thing people don't realize, too, is you've got one side that's injured and the other side that's not. If you can do little exercises with the other side of the body, when you're doing those exercises on the right side of the body, the left side is actually getting worked as well, getting worked 50%. As much as the right side. So you're actually, giving your left side a workout because all the muscles and ligaments and tendons are connecting to the other side as well, and you're using those small muscle groups in the other side of the body. So think of it that way, as you're exercising the good side of your body, the other side is getting 50% as much exercise as well. So the more you can do that your body will allow you to do, the better. So those are some things I wanted to just emphasize with that checklist. And the social support network thing is really important too. And all of you have been a great support to me with this whole process. And it's funny how when you get injured like that and you put out a word about it, you get all kinds of, you get to connect with old friends, and all of a sudden all kinds of people are support, coming back to give ideas and support. So it's really nice to, it has a lot of benefits that way. And the more you share your story, the more it, it helps to process those feelings and that experience. And then you discover all kinds of ways to feel good, other ways to feel good. Like when we're athletes, usually the one way to feel good is to go out and work out. And that's what we're kind of, you got that one, one focus. And it's running, swimming, cycling, any kind of workout, or whether it's tennis or soccer, it fulfills so many needs that you don't have to worry about feeling good. It just takes care of all that. But then all of a sudden, when you don't have that anymore for a few weeks, you have to find other ways to feel good. And so it's a challenge at first, but if you can engage in right brain activities to take your mind off their situation, like music, and videos, dancing to music, singing to music, moving to music, watching comedy, videos and programs, massage tools, spending time outdoors in the sun, just little things like that make such a huge difference with being able to feel good. And then after 3 weeks, you can, do a jacuzzi or a hot bath or something, and you start to enjoy the little pleasures of life. And then you begin to get back into it, into your activity very slowly, and makes such a huge difference. So one thing I'm developing also is a logbook to keep track of progress in these areas. So I'll be sending you that too here shortly, the logbook and a way to journal to write down your thoughts and your feelings so that it becomes, every day becomes a learning process. And you can, with a logbook, it's really important, just like with working out, working toward a race, when you're doing a logbook for recovery, it really makes you aware of the daily progress. And you can see the small little changes and be grateful for those. And also makes you aware to not do too much too soon. Use the 10% rule each week. You know, don't increase by more than 10% to give your body a chance to adapt. So, yeah. And then lastly, that last little section of the checklist is putting your injury in perspective, being able to create, do creative learning and ideas. You want to try to discover one new idea each day to accomplish a new task or do something, look at something different, new and different, each a different way each day. So like just how to pick things up off the floor safely, you know, is one thing I learned the first week. And you're reminding yourself, the more I rest, the healthier I'll be. And reminding yourself, just as you're sitting, as you're resting, your body is recovering. And that's true if you have an injury or surgery, or even if you're not injured, that you, as we work out every day, there's always these micro injuries that are going on inside that we need to recover from every day. So the more you rest and the more you recover, the quicker you recover. So your body knows exactly what to do. It's building those bridges, knitting the bones together, improving your tendons and ligaments, flexibility. And your job is just to provide the best possible environment, healing environment, for your body to do its work. So, yeah, just wanted to share those things with you there. And, yeah, Duran, do you have any comments? Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I was just asking if you had any comments or any questions about that and or anything else that you had questions about?
No, I'm all good.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I'll let's see. Yeah, next week, I think you had a question about charities too, right? What was your question about that? How to do, an event for a charity?
Yeah, like a charity event.
What were you thinking of?
A charity event.
You're thinking of doing one? Or you are?
Yeah.
And what's it for? What kind of charity or what kind of?
Like for kids in distress.
Uh-huh.
To help raise money for them. And, you know, my question was if you've done, like, an event like that before, you know, like, put on an event like that for the community.
Yeah, I guess the main things I've been involved with are the Leukemia Society, of course, team and training. And I've been a part of their events for the past 15 to 20 years, I guess, and been a speaker for them. So, of course, that's a huge organization. And they're, you know, I think anything that you can do to model the kinds of things that they're doing would be great because they are so successful. You know, they go around to local stores and they have those, you know, their flyers and they put them in those little plastic holders. They provide the plastic holders as well as the flyers for the stores, and so the stores are more likely to keep them in there. And if you can, if you can make your event a competitive, like a race, were you thinking of that?
Yeah, I'm actually helping a friend out with one. He has a small studio and. He has an event next month, and it's pretty cool. So we all help raise money for, you know, for like kids in distress and stuff, and come up with team names and stuff like that. So makes it more fun that way.
Yeah. So if you can have the kids that you're raising money for be part of the event, of course, you know, if they can like run a race, do a kids race or something like that, that's really key, I think, to feature them in some way. Or if you can have one or two kids that are really that need special attention and they can be sort of role models, that's a really good way to do it. Like, of course, the model was team and training. People have, you know, run an event and they get money ahead of time, ask people for funds to help them to run the race. And then they usually have one sponsored kid or a sponsored person that they are helping. So if each person can have, you know, one particular kid that they're helping, then it brings it more, it brings it home, makes it more personal, personalized.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, as opposed to just all kids in distress, you know, have
right.
One
like sponsor a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
And they have a photo of them and a so they can keep them in mind as they're, you know, say running their race, that kind of thing. And even though the money might go toward the whole organization, you can think of it as helping that one person out. That way they're connected to that one kid and their needs, and they find out exactly what they need. So
yeah,
and I guess, you know, now it's easier to get the word out there with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn, that you can announce things more easily. And you know, Facebook, you know, if you have a Facebook page, right, a business page?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, there's an events part there on the left-hand side. If you click on events, then you can that's really powerful, actually. You can announce your event there, and then you can invite your entire list to that event on Facebook. So, and it sends it out to your feed, your news feed, so everyone gets a notice of that. So that's a great way to get the word out there, too. If you're speaking, you know, you're a great speaker, Daron, you could think about actually speaking at the event, too, and you could talk about the mental side of the kids in distress, and that could be a way to raise money for the event and also get your name out there, and you know, your website, theathletegrowth.com, and give people send people there for resources, that kind of thing. You could have one of your ebooks, just one idea is, yeah, have your ebook or give away something at the event that helps.
Sure.
Or you could do one, you know, just easily customize it just for the kids in distress. Your, you know, athlete growth, you know, techniques for to help kids in distress, and just, you know, put that in the title of the book, and just, you know, use the same ebook that you've had before, but make it customized for them. Just to change, if you know, add a few words to it for them, and then give that away as part of the event. So you could really be helping people, help the kids, help their parents, and also give exposure for your own business. Be a great way to get clients for you down the road, and get people buying your products, that kind of thing. Get people back to your website.
Awesome, thank you very much.
So yeah, just some ideas there. So it's a way that you can partner with your friend who's doing the event, like you say, you know, giving your time and your resources, and also giving exposure for you. So yeah, great. All right. Well, thanks, Daron. Thanks everyone for joining us today. And next time, as I mentioned, we'll meet not on Thursday, but actually on Friday, October 28th. At 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, same as usual. And we'll talk more about marketing and learning a lot of new things about e-books. There's a lot of questions about Kindle and getting books up there, and I'm in the process of doing that myself. So I want to give you more of the specifics about the whole process of how to, what content to use, and how to format. I'm learning a lot about new ways how to format your book for Kindle so it looks really good, and how to, for instance, how to put the title, what to put in the title so that you add value to it, so that more people will buy your book, and ways that you can just create recurring income. Because you can have that ebook, of course, on your own website, sell it through your own shopping cart, as well as selling it on Kindle, and then people will, you know, drive. You can have lots of links in your book that drive people back to your website, to your special offers, to your high-end coaching, and to your courses and that kind of thing. So you build this continually building this great list for yourself. So lots of exciting things there that I want to share with you. All right, so that sounds great. Well, thanks, thanks everyone for joining us, and yeah, especially Daron, thank you for sharing about your 9-year-old. That's a great success story with the MP3 with the rap singer and your his basketball. That's a great thing to share with everyone here. The power of the MP3s and that custom visualization process that we can do here. So great. All right. Well, thanks, Daron. And we'll see you all. I think there's other people on the call. It's just that some people are muted out. So I just want to thank everyone for joining us here. And I really enjoyed answering your questions and being with you and being of assistance to you any way I can. So thank you for spending your time with us today. And we'll see you, hear you next time on Friday, October 28th. So until then, have a great couple weeks, and let me know how it's going. All right.
You too.
Thanks. Take care. Okay, take care. Bye now.